You're listening to episode 80 of the ESL Teaching Podcast. The start of the new school year is typically extremely busy. There are new families registering students coming to their new schools, meeting their teachers and classmates. There's lots of screening, placement, scheduling, action. Multilingual learners join our communities all the time. But somehow the deficit mindset, which assumes they don't understand anything and therefore are capable of only doing very little, is still very pervasive. That's why in today's episode, I wanted to address namely this topic. I answer the following questions. What even is asset-based approach? How can we empower our English learners, no matter what proficiency level they are? How can the districts, schools, and us teachers embrace the asset-based approach and infuse it into our everyday teaching and so much more? So without further ado, let's jump right in. Hello and welcome to the ESL Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Yeva Grossless, otherwise known as Simply Yeva, and I am so thankful that you tuned in. I'm looking forward to sharing both my knowledge and experience on this podcast, as well as that of my fellow teachers. Hello, hello, everyone. Let's picture this scenario. A new student from China joins your fifth grade class. During the first weeks of school, here's what you learn about him. Number one, he doesn't speak a word of English. Number two, he doesn't follow directions and gets into physical altercations with other students. Number three, he wears the same clothes to school most days. And number four, his parents don't return any communication, written or phone calls from school. What do you think about this student? Do you worry about his future or do you want to put him on a behavior management plan? Here are a few more facts. Number one, the boy is hungry for learning. He finds ways to communicate with you, whether through images, body language, or Google Translate. He seems unstoppable in that. Number two, he's really good at solving math problems, some even above grade level. Number three, he loves to play soccer and is quite a pro at it. And number four, he is never, ever late for school. Have you changed your way of thinking about this student? Do these bits of information make you want to get to know him better and help him succeed? Well, the first set of facts focus on something that is not right, something that we think is wrong, and that is his deficits. The second set of facts is focused on his assets. We teach students all the time about growth mindset, and the asset-based approach is similar for all of us teachers. As English learner teachers, we have countless stories of students like this from all over the world at all grade levels, but all with something unique and wonderful that when tapped into can make a difference not only in that child's life, but also in the life of everyone around them. We know this, but how do we get this message across to everyone else? Now, let's begin with the definition of an asset-based approach. According to the ASCD.org website, an asset-based approach to teaching English language learners is about creating a culture where we acknowledge strengths and expect success. Not the opposite. Not the can't do, but the can do. The asset-based approach is a vision that everyone in the district shares and that everyone must adopt before we can even see some goals and results that our English learners can achieve academically. The thing is, multilingual learners are not just students of one teacher. When they enter the school, they become part of the community, and the community looks out after each other, doesn't it? But mostly it starts with us, the educators, who set the tone for how it will be done. So how can we embrace this asset-based attitude? First of all, the message has to come from the top leadership of the schools. District leaders have the vision that they share with their staff and community, and their message can have a tremendous, tremendous impact. At the moment of recording this episode, we have just started the new school year. Just a few days or weeks ago, superintendents across the country stood in front of their staff with a message and vision for the upcoming school year. Why not spread one that would clearly embrace diversity? While the number of multilingual learners is rising in almost every district, even the smallest can adopt this asset-based approach. Because let's face it, responding to any student's needs and meeting them where they are by building them up is not reserved just to those who are new to the country. It is not an easy task to develop a vision that would be bold and open and high-reaching, a vision that will speak loud and clear, diversity is an asset in our schools, and here's how we are embracing it. It requires a change in mindset and actions, which all too often meet pushback and remain just beautiful words. This message should be carried by EL directors and school leaders as well. The former are in a unique position to advocate for multilingual learners, while the latter are the voice that sets the tone of the entire building culture. And finally, us, teachers. Many of us have been in situations where we talk with our colleagues who worry that having an English learner in their classroom will bring their test scores down, or that they are not a language teacher and therefore there's nothing they can do to reach the student. As EL teachers, we are on a mission to change this mindset. A simple sentence that acknowledges the frustrations of your fellow teachers, because we understand and we know the shortcomings of the system, and pointing out to the wonderful progress the student is making as well as how they contribute to the class, will slowly change the whole culture of communication about the multilingual students. Now, all this is beautiful, but you know me, I like practical tips. So let's dive into more practical tips of how schools can embrace the asset-based approach to multilingual learners in their day-to-day. So I have 5 tips that I'm going to share, and I hope that you will find them useful. So the first one is, what is the name you give students who are learning English in your school? Names are important. Titles are important, right? There are many acronyms used in our field, but one of my least favorite is LEP, Limited English Proficient, as it explicitly states the limit and implies that learning English is a problem. Many districts use ELL, English Language Learners, which is quite neutral but also does not reflect that linguistic and cultural complexity of our students. The latest shift in terminology includes the term multilingual learners, or MLs. The truth is, many students truly are multilinguals. They speak 2, 3, sometimes even 4 languages, and the term itself acknowledges the fact that different cultures and languages are a strength and not a weakness. Tip number 2 is, it is important to support the linguistic and academic development of ELs. Strategically incorporate all 4 language domains and literacy building and development through culturally responsive texts. So we want to make sure that the students can relate to what they are reading, whether it's their country background or names or color of skin or experiences that are reflected in the books and the texts, even if it's not the big books, but something that will be super helpful for them. This requires training in strategic scaffolds that can benefit more students than just your multilinguals. For example, identifying vocabulary necessary for understanding your lesson and pre-teaching it, or building background with visuals that are relevant and relatable, and repeating information in a variety of ways, to name just a few. The third tip is to recognize and celebrate students' languages and cultures. I am a believer in small steps, especially if responding to multiculturalism and diversity is something newer in your school. An example of this could be signs "Welcome" or "All are welcome" in many languages around the school. As someone whose first language is not English, I cannot tell you how unexpectedly wonderful it is to see something so familiar in a place where you least expect it, but spend a lot of time at. Another example of celebrating cultures could be information about cultural holidays on morning announcements, or weekly or monthly emails to your staff informing them about what is going on in the world on that particular month. Curriculum books in students' first language is a great way to recognize the fact that they too have the right to read the same books. And in turn, this will help them develop their English language skills in the long run as well. And I have an episode about using first language in the classroom, and I will link it right underneath this episode. Tip number four is you have to understand that not all ELs are new. And when we speak about English learners, many people automatically think about newcomers who have recently arrived and are just starting out on their English learning journey. And sometimes when I say that a particular student is in my program, sometimes people get surprised. Why? Their English is so good, or there's no accent or something like that. So not all English learners, multilingual learners, are new, but it is important to ensure that all of them feel welcome and valued, and there are a couple of things that we can do to do that. So the first one is to build family and community relationships. And this means learning about the newcomers' backgrounds and educational experiences and their family stories. I know it doesn't happen overnight and nobody's telling you everything on the very first time they meet you, but this is what relationship building is, okay? We need to identify and understand the specific needs of that family. And the second one is to create pathways for newcomers and for all EL students to be able to access the curriculum and participate in school activities and extracurricular activities. So we have to use the resources for communications. It could be in the family's language and the preferred mode, and creating opportunities for the families to be engaged with the school and feel like they are valued members of the community. And tip number five is make professional development in this area a priority. This might sound like a tall order, but let's think about several things. And I'm sure everybody has a story about how there was not enough communication about students, and then there were misunderstandings, right? So the curriculum gets progressively more difficult with each grade, and there is a risk that students might become disengaged, and this might affect especially those that are more experienced multilinguals, maybe have been working with you for several years. So it's important for everyone to know how to build the foundation for success and how to continue it in their classes. And everyone includes professional staff, newly hired teachers, secretaries, paraprofessionals, you name it. They need to have training about the needs of English learners as well as about methods that allow them to help and promote the student academic achievement. It is a dream scenario for both me and many other EL teachers to implement all of the above mentioned ways and to champion our multilingual learners, right? But if there's one thing, the first step that you can take away from this episode, because we always need to know where to start, let it be this. Next time you hear someone use a deficit-filled comment about an English learner, educate them by flipping that comment onto the bright side, because there's always the bright side. As always, I want to hear from you. What do you do to empower your English learners? What are some of the ways your school is embracing this asset-based approach, and what will your next steps be in this area? Send me a message on Instagram and let me know. You know me, I like to chat. Thank you for listening, and until next time. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard today, be sure to do two things. First, make sure to subscribe to the ESL Teaching Podcast so you don't miss an episode. And second, leave a positive review wherever you listen, on iTunes, Spotify, or any other platform. Positive reviews will improve the chances of this podcast to be discovered in the feed and help our fellow ESL ELL teachers. And of course, there's a third thing. If you aren't following me on social media yet, come join me on Instagram at SimplyYevaESL, Facebook SimplyYeva, or connect with me on my website, simplyyeva.com. Thanks again, and until next time.